You're listening to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today, we're going to do the end-of-year special, the wrap-up show for 2022. What a year. What a year. Now, if you're new to the show, let me explain to you what we do. You probably already know, right? Just the title alone, you can figure it out. This is the end-of-year special, folks. We're going to count down all the things. My most favorite episodes of the show we did this year, the most popular episode of the show that you all listen to, we're going to go through it. The highest number of downloads. Can anyone beat Travis Scott Part 1 from 2021? Probably not, but we'll see, right? We'll see. We're going to go over a bunch of stuff from the show. We'll go over who the guests were, some big moves that your boy made, various news topics, the top pop culture moments, celebrity deaths, that's right. And of course, your favorite time of the year, predictions for 2023, which means we're going to go over the results of my predictions from the previous year. Was I correct? And you know I don't have a good track record. But we're going to go into that today. So get ready for that. Okay? Now, I don't know. Where should we start? Where do you want to start? I'll start with best. And look, I'm going to throw the caveat out here, okay? I'm a busy guy. I juggle a lot of things. I work a dreaded day job full time. I know. I'm still doing it. I don't know why I'm doing it. I'm close to ejecting, but I'm not quite there yet. You know what I mean? So what I'm saying is these countdowns are very subjective into what I witnessed, watched, observed, and remembered, which isn't much. I don't remember much. So without further ado, let's get into the best pop culture moments. You know, that's half of the show, occult symbolism and pop culture. Let's talk pop culture. And this is all, of course, according to me. And when I say the best, I would say the most interesting to me or funny or whatever. This isn't really a countdown. I do have a number one, but I didn't rank these other ones. These are just others, follow-ups. Adam Levine. I've always disliked the guy. And, you know, he's on here. Why? Because he had a scandal. He slid in the DMs of some hot chicks, apparently. And it became some of the funniest memes ever in the history. Particularly funny for me because I dislike Adam Levine. For no particular reason. I'm just a hater. I'm just hating on him. And all the memes it sparked, you know, he had those memes, that body of yours is absurd, he kept telling these chicks. Pete Davidson had a great year. You know, Pete Davidson can't be stopped. He can't be stopped. Adam Levine can be, but not Pete Davidson. He had a great year. Tom Brady divorced from Mrs. Bewitched over there, Giselle. Everybody knows that she's a witch. She's half taking credit for him being the greatest quarterback of all time or whatever, right? Sports ball's not my thing. I don't know. That's just what I hear, which I think is preposterous that he even played into that at all. He's like, oh, you know, I couldn't do this without her witchcraft. Okay, dude. You got it, buddy. Harry Styles spitting on Chris Pine at the premiere of Don't Worry Darling, which we're going to talk about that film in this show later, by the way, because I'm going to go through my favorite movies, right? Shout out Jessica. Oh, my phone's blowing up with payments from PayPal. Shout out to Grifter Alley. Jessica's in the Grifter Alley. Bought a copy of The Dark Path. I'm going to sign it and ship it out today, Jessica. Thank you. Sorry, I'm going to turn that off. It's a casual show today, folks. This whole year went off the rails for me, and it's a fitting that it goes off the rails in the last show We're going to discuss my personal wins and tragedies later. Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. How can we forget that Amber Heard took a dump in Johnny Depp's bed? Oh. And then she cut off his fingertip. Allegedly. I think she said the dog took a dump. I don't know. Where's the truth lie? They're both shady people. And here comes the runner-up. The number two pop culture moment of the year, as per me, Kanye West. That's right. The unraveling of Ye. He started out the year dating Julia Fox. And by the end, he was on Alex Jones talking with a full mask on and holding a net with a bottle of Yoo-hoo, sitting next to a waspy-looking white supremacist kid. What the hell? What's going on, Kanye? Lost something like $2 billion. $2 billion? You got to be saying some stuff. He lost more than Alex Jones. Alex Jones lost $1 billion, which is unfortunate because Alex Jones does not have Kanye West money. And you know, that honestly, that should probably be on here. But I don't really think it's funny is the problem with Alex Jones, right? It's the organized dismantling of the conspiracy theorist. That's probably the number one moment. But we've been observing that. I've been experiencing it for no less than 6 years. If you don't know my sob, I'm not gonna cry, okay? But if you don't know my sob story, go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, hit the start here tab. I will give you the year by year, blow by blow since 2011 when I started this journey. I'm telling you, I've seen it with my own eyes. I'm honest with you guys. I tell you the real scoop. You know what I mean? And partially that's why I keep the dreaded day job, because I want to keep it honest with you guys. 100, as the kids say. No cap. For real. I want to keep it with you. And, you know, sure, I've taken you down Grifter Alley many times this year. I've sold you steaks and therapy and all kinds of stuff. But I'm trying to be honest with you guys. And, you know, I don't want to make it so that it's a choice between me keeping the lights on versus me telling you guys the truth. And the truth is, I've seen the dismantling of this whole thing for many years now. I myself have been canceled and kicked off of so many things. Sued, removed, tattooed, screwed, blued, and tattooed. That's what my old man used to say. And so much so that this year was a monumental moment. We changed the name of the podcast. No longer is it Conspiracy Theories and Pop Culture, because the writing is clearly on the wall, folks. And I don't want to get blocked from talking to you guys about the things I talk to you about, which is why the proper branded title of Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture is the new title. It's more accurate to what we talk about. Okay. Anyway. Alex Jones, unfortunately, being made an example of, an insane example. I'd like to have more confidence in the general public to see through this and say, you know, and look, I get it, right? I've actually vacillated on my opinion about the whole thing. I get it when I say, you know what, though? Alex Jones is really pushing the envelope. He's saying some gross stuff and blah, 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 blah. I actually kind of could see the angle. I didn't think $1 billion was correct. I mean, I get it that you can't just flagrantly say whatever you want to say, right? Like, freedom of speech is limited to an extent. And I used to kind of think, gosh, I don't know where I stand on this. I've always been a free speech person. I've always been anti-cancel culture. And of course, you know, I like Alex Jones. I disagree with a lot of the stuff he says. But I thought, $1 billion, that seems insane. They're taking the guy's livelihood away. You know, Kanye loses $2 billion. He's fine. Still got to have $1 billion or whatever. I guarantee Alex Jones don't have more than $1 billion. And then I saw a Casey Anthony show, and it took me down TV land there, and I'm watching Nancy Grace on mainstream cable news talking about how Casey's a baby killer, even though the court said she was innocent. And look, is she innocent? I don't know. Her and her dad both seem shady as hell. I'm pretty sure they killed that kid somehow. But the point is, Nancy Grace is out there provoking the public. I'm literally seeing footage of them showing up at Casey Anthony's house and harassing them. And I'm like, how is this literally any different than what Alex Jones was doing? Both were allegedly lying, right? She's lying because the court said, no, Casey's innocent. So that's technically a lie for her to be like, no, she's a baby killer. And riling people up. Like, I think it's a dick move to rile people up. That was my whole beef with Alex Jones. I'm like, bro, like, it's kind of in poor taste, right? Let's agree on that. But I know all the conspiracy warriors out there, the crisis actor. Okay, I get it. Okay. But anyway, my point being, I've confirmed my opinion about the whole thing. And you would think that I'd be the first one to be on Alex Jones' side. But I'm a half normie. I'm a half truther. It took a while for me to come to the conclusion that I was like, dude, this is some bull crap. This is some bull crap. And I've been a victim of censorship and all. I've been sued. And you know me, I'm not that sensational. I'm not trying to tell you that dead kids are fake news and they're not really dead. Which I thought that was kind of gross, to be honest. But he should be allowed to say that. If Nancy Grace can rile up people to blah, blah, you get it. You get my point. Anyway. So Alex Jones should be on here, but it's upsetting to me now. All right? Because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to control the information. You know, Alex Jones' website, InfoWars, it says like the battles for your mind or whatever. He was right. And then the winner, number one. Number one, best pop culture moment of the year. I propose Will Smith smacking Chris Rock. Can you believe the atomic bomb that set off in the tabloid pop culture realm? I couldn't believe it. I watched it with my own eyes. I actually had been recording the show. I hate the award shows, but I record them anyway. And I'm on Twitter and I'm seeing this thing about Will Smith. I said, what? So I'm fast forwarding because I had actually already started it, but I was about an hour behind or something. And I fast forwarded it and I said, was that real? That couldn't be real. And the jury's still out, right? A lot of people say that wasn't a real thing. They say that Chris Rock sort of leaned into it and braced for impact. I mean, I don't know. I think if you took the slow motion footage of anyone getting smacked, maybe it would look that way. Who knows, right? Lots of people want to believe conspiracies about literally everything. It's hard to believe, though. It's hard to wrap your mind around two solid A-list celebrities on TV at a huge event that lots of people are watching for this to happen. The way he was yelling, the way Jada Pinkett sort of smiled and egged it on in a way. To me, I felt it was real because of Chris Rock's reaction. I've seen Chris Rock movies. He ain't that good of an actor. One of the greatest comedians of all time. But not one of the greatest actors. And he pulled it off. If he was acting, bravo. A-plus job. My sir deserved the Academy Award. I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable. And to add to this, in a way, because look, I don't like Will Smith either. I know. And I'm from near Philly, too. That's supposed to be my boy. But, in fact, I grew up, one of my first hip-hop experiences, I owned the cassette tape, I'm the Rapper, He's the DJ. All right? I think that was the first hip hop I've ever consumed in my life. And I loved it. And it was great. And I watched Fresh Prince. I was born in 79. So I don't know what years this crap came out. You know, I was pretty young. And Fresh Prince of Bel-Air came on. I loved it immediately. So you would think there'd be some deep-seated love for Will Smith, right? With all that going on. You know, I grew up near in the suburbs, about an hour west of Philly. So lots there for it. But the problem was, let me change the glasses here, folks. I got my blue blockers on there making a reflection for my video watchers. Speaking of which, subscribe to my YouTube channel. YouTube.com/@occultsymbolism is the new YouTube channel, all right? I have an old one. It's been shadow banned to hell. I'm going to try to restart it again. I'll keep the old one as a backup, though. So anyway. My beef was I also watched Martin with Martin Lawrence, the sitcom, right? And I noticed that Will Smith copped Martin's style completely, completely. And I was like, oh, this dude's a phony. as if I'm in any qualified position to say that. So I never really liked Will Smith. I think he's a great actor. In fact, that what's that dumb football movie he was in, Concussion or something like that? He did great. He does great. He's a good actor. Fantastic. One of the best. But to see his fall from grace, but it didn't really happen even. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't even arrest him or nothing. They just kind of let him sit back down, and then he partied afterward, and he released in a new movie. Apparently it's flopping. I don't know. I mean, who doesn't love a good build up and destruction celebrity story, all right? So that's, to me, the biggest pop culture moment. Now, let's talk. Now, here, usually I do a section here on my favorite music of the year. I usually have a lot to say here. But for the first time in my life, I sort of gave up on music. You know? And look, I'm 43. And I did a good job up to this point staying really current. I don't like pop top 40. I've always been into hip-hop, okay? Now, I realize hip-hop has now become top 40, but it hasn't always been that way. But now, I guess I've just become the old guy who thinks it's all trash. I don't know. I don't know what happened. Mostly trash, right? Last year, I said we were waiting on the new Rihanna album to drop. We're still waiting. It's never going to happen. She's got all that panty money now. She has no time for music. And look, I get it, right? I enjoy writing. That's how I started out. Love writing. In fact, there's a fantasy in the back of my head to quit podcasting altogether and just write books. That's it. Just write books. That's it. So I get it. But a lot of you would be sad. A lot of you like my dumb podcast. So, hey, I'll give you what you want. Just like Rihanna's giving people the panties that they want. You know what I mean? And she's going to be the Super Bowl this year. You know that. So let's see what happens there. Because she's Illuminate confirmed many times over. But, Suicide Boys had a new album. I liked that. That was fine. I was into that Kate Bush song, Run Up That Hill. I'd never heard that before, even though it's an old 80s song. Apparently, I think it's Mandela Effect. I don't think it existed in a different timeline. Metro Boomin had an album that was pretty cool. 21 and Drake had an album. It was fine. New Future album. It was fine. Donda 2. Seemed like it was cool. I don't want to pay $250 to hear it. I actually caught the tail end of the live stream concert release. And I was really excited. I was like, this is actually a really good album. It's way better than Donda 1. Donda 1 was trash, in my opinion. All the Kanye fans, don't at me. I don't want to hear it. Donda 2, it seemed like it was a way better album, but I'll never know because he put it on a $250 stem player, and that's the only way to hear it. And to be fair to Kanye, I thought it was all a grift that 2 months later he was going to release it on the streaming services, and he never did. So I was like, oh, okay, well, I mean, at least he's sticking with that. Dick move, right? Dick move. To make an album, $250. Now, Vulture magazine, they said Beyonce's Renaissance album was the best of the year. So there you go. I guess that was the best. You can miss me with that all day. I'll never listen to a Beyonce album in its entirety. I think she's propped up. I don't think she actually makes good music. But it's not for me either, so hey. You know what I mean? A guy like me has no business with a Beyonce album. Now, let's talk about best movies. And again, maybe not be the best movie of the year, but it's my favorite. And I also want to add the caveat, I have not seen every movie that came out this year. I'm not even close, all right? And again, this is very debatable. This is my hot take. And my hot take comes from looking through my Letterboxd diary. I don't know if you use the Letterboxd app. They're not a sponsor or nothing, but I really enjoy it. It's like social media, but for movies, kind of. You can't really get on there, and it's not really a... Anyway, you can figure it out. Follow me if you're on Letterboxd. I think it's at Isaac Weishaupt. I don't know. Link is in the show notes, as always. Let's go down my... This is the top 10. I did put this one in order because I am a movie nerd of some sorts. Number 10... Deep Water. I enjoyed this movie. A lot of people didn't. And look, I don't have the notes of any of this crap in front of me, so I'm just going to wing it. Deep Water was that Ben Affleck movie with the chick who was in the Marilyn Monroe movie, Blonde. And it was great. I loved it. I think it was the same director who did Basic Instinct. So it was an erotic thriller of some sort. I thought it was great. I love it. That's a perfect formula for me. Number 9, The Black Phone, a horror movie. Most of what I watch. Actually really good, very suspenseful, kept me engaged the whole time. Number 8, the aforementioned Blonde on Netflix. Now, a lot of people hated this movie. It starred the chick from Deepwater. I don't know her name. And I don't remember her name. It's a weird name. But she looked just like her. And, you know, had a couple hot scenes in it. It was kind of avant-garde, which I love, right? It's 3 hours long or some nonsense, which I did not love. But I was really impressed by it. I thought it was great. And I know people, but it was an imagined thing. It wasn't real. Yeah, cool. Okay. At least they told me that. Like, if I didn't know that going into it, I'd be upset. But, I mean, you can do an imagined history of it. It's like, what's that, Quentin Tarantino movie with the Charles Manson thing. Hollywood something. God. Has my favorite Leo in there. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. It's kind of like that. A reimagined history. It can be fun. We can have fun. Number 7, Elvis. Again, controversial. Some people hate it. I thought it was fantastic. It was my first experience with what's that dude's name? Baz Luhrmann, the director. It's my first experience with this is the dude who did Romeo and Juliet and Moulin Rouge and something else. I was really blown away. I thought it was outstanding. Definite rewatch material. That dude did a great job. Fun fact, Elvis drop kicked the guy off the stage. I didn't know that before. I thought that was great. Number 6, Look At Me, the XXXTentacion documentary on Hulu, I believe it was. And I love a good music documentary. I could watch it about pretty much anybody, even musicians I don't care about. And this one hit every single spot for me. Now, they stopped short of calling Drake the killer. And you know how I feel about that. I won't say nothing anymore because I do think Mr. Degrassi High is plugged into some kind of network. All right. Number 5. Allegedly, right? Allegedly. Number 5, Dune. It was actually from 2021, but I didn't watch it till 2022 because it was at the end of 21 that it was released. I had never seen the original. My best friend in the military, Dr. Anteater, I remember he was always geeking out about the original, and we put it on and I would always fall asleep. I was like, ugh, it's just like kryptonite to me. But I was so impressed with this Dune remake that I immediately watched the original Dune, and I was like, dude, this story is phenomenal. Almost enough to make me want to read the books if I didn't have a stack of occult encyclopedia books that I'm trying to hack through. Number 4, Don't Worry, Darling. That's right. I loved it. I watched it twice. I thought Harry Styles did a great job. I know a lot of people say he didn't. I think they're just hating. I thought it was great. Everything about the story was great. Every single thing from start to finish, fantastic. I did a whole show analysis on it. Check it out. Number three, Nope, the Jordan Peele UFO documentary, the Jordan Peele UFO film. I did a film analysis show on that as well. Then I watched it a second time. It held up just as good. I watched it with Josie. She hated it. You know, we both have different tastes in movies. I like something that gives me something to think about that's like a little abstract. There's just enough to be like, okay, this is what I think is going on. And she's like, no, she just wants like a romance story or whatever, something straightforward. It's fine. But to me, top five UFO film, hell, I would say maybe even top three UFO film of all time. Terrifying in spots. Now, this was tough. Top two. And the runner-up is Top Gun Maverick. I know it's got my boy Tom Cruise in there. And I saw it in the theater, and it changed my whole opinion about the theater experience. I said, okay, I'm back in. Because, you know, when the theaters open back up, kind of, or whatever, I hadn't been in. I was like, I never want to go to a theater again. I don't like the people. I don't like anything about the theater experience. And then I saw Top Gun in the theaters. I was like, damn it, they pulled me back in. But it wasn't strong enough because I haven't been back since. Look, a lot of people hate Jeff Bezos, and I get it. He's very hateable. But I got to hand it to the guy. You know, if I could pay $20 and not get off my couch, I will gladly do that. I wish every single movie would immediately go to streaming for $20. I wish. I pray that's the future. But yeah, Top Gun Maverick, fantastic. On the edge of the seat, clutching, you know? That damn, I'm not going to give any of the plot stuff away, but like the main stuff that happens at the end, I was just like, wow, man, that's cool. All that military brainwashing really kicks in. You're like, I'm going to the recruiter right now. I'm going to fly damn F-14 or whatever they're flying. And look, I'm an Air Force guy. I know nothing about jets. I build bombs. All right. Was an Air Force guy. Excuse me. Let me clarify that. I did 4 years. No big deal. Active duty. That was a whole lifetime ago. But that brainwashing is in there, and it gets stirred up sometimes. It really does. That's some real stuff. Anyone who's a vet knows what I'm talking about. And I hated the military. The last 2 years, I wanted out so bad. I was like, I want to leave. I want to walk away and get AWOL discharged. I don't care. I wanted to leave so bad. It wasn't that bad, but pretty bad. I hated it. But man, every now and then, the right movie kicks on, or the memory kicks in, or something happens, and you're like, bro, I gotta, you know, I tried re-enlisting, but I couldn't. Anyway, number one, Everything Everywhere All at Once. And look, to be fair, I told you when we did the show about that, where I explained to you what's going on, and according to my opinion, I watched this in three chunks. I watched the first 30 minutes. I said, this is dumb as hell. Why does anyone like this movie? Took a break. Next day, we turned it back on, watched maybe another half hour or so. And I was like, this is painful. I hate this movie. I hate everything about this. This is stupid. Then the third session, we sat down and finished it. And by the end, it was like mini atomic explosions in my brain. And I felt feelings. I teared up. I fought it. But I lost the battle, and I teared up. I was like, this is the most important movie I've ever seen in my whole life. Everyone needs to experience this movie. I immediately watched it a second time, knowing what was going on, and then I was like, unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, Everything Everywhere gets the number one spot. Here's some honorable mentions, because these aren't new movies, but these are movies that were new to me that I watched for the first time that were some of my favorites. Let's go down the list. The Wraith. From 86 with Charlie Sheen, he had the bust and hair. He was missing everything but the dangly cross earring. Loved it. Loved it. But I'm a real 80s cheeseball fan. If you watch it, you might hate it. So don't pay any money for that. I watched it for free on Tubi, I think. I loved it. I definitely would buy it, watch it many times over. Plus, it has the chick from Twin Peaks. She's so hot in it. I don't remember her name. Audrey Horne from Twin Peaks is in it. She's freaking smoking. I watched Romeo and Juliet for the first time. Unbelievable. A perfect 5-star movie. One of my favorite movies of all time. Probably immediately into my top 10. I couldn't believe it. Because there's a lot of Leo movies I hadn't watched. There was a period of time in the mid to late 90s and early 2000s where I didn't watch any movies. You know, it's peak living when you're age, you know, 15, 16 through 21. Like, you got so much life to live. You're not watching movies. So I missed a lot of movies. And this is one of them that slipped through the cracks for me. And unreal. Unreal. You heard me gush about it before. The scene where Juliet's dancing with Paul Rudd's character. Paul Rudd's trying to make her laugh, and he's doing a great job. And then Leo comes in. Star-crossed lovers. They lock eyes. You feel the love in the air, man. I said, damn, bro. That's good. It's a good movie. I couldn't tell you enough. If you've never seen the... And look, it's that dude, Baz Luhrmann, who did the Elvis movie. So it's a certain acquired taste. I don't know. I can't rave enough about that movie. Honestly, out of all the movies, my favorite movie of the year is probably Romeo and Juliet, but it doesn't really count because it's an old movie. I also watched Basic Instinct. Loved it for reasons I mentioned already. Erotic thrillers are the greatest. Body of Evidence. Loved it. That's Madonna. Another erotic thriller. I watched Dress to Kill from 1980. Loved it. It's like a murder mystery giallo sort of film by Brian De Palma. I watched Whiplash for the first time, a 2014 film about a kid who plays drums in college. Sounds boring as hell, doesn't it? That's what people say. Oh, you got to watch Whiplash. And I read the thing. I watched the trailer. I said, no, I don't. That shit looks boring. And I'm telling you, it pulls you in. Next thing you know, the movie's over. You're like, whoa, I didn't move. I didn't turn on my phone or nothing. I watched Dick Tracy for the first time. Loved it. I told you my whole sad story about that. When I was a kid, I had a Dick Tracy activity book, but I never got to see the movie, you know? This is back in the day. Back in the 80s and 90s, parents didn't do what their kids wanted to do. It was like, if dad wanted to see the movie, awesome, I got to go see it. It wasn't like, hey, little Isaac, you like Dick Tracy, why don't we take you to see the movie? No. You were lucky, at best, if you could rent it from the store. At best. It was just a different world back then. But now, you know, these kids are narcissists, so I don't know. What's the better path? I'll take the path I was on. Because, you know, you become an adult, and then you enjoy these things more. You're like, I'm going to go see the fucking movie. Like, oh, sorry, I mean a cuss. I'm going to see the freaking movie. I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to take off work, tell them I'm sick, and I'm going to the movie. Because I can do it. And, like, kids, like, you're really setting them up for disappointment when you give them all the things and take them to the movies and stuff, whatever they want to see. And now we all got to suffer through 100 Marvel movies. I'm trying to see Basic Instinct, and you're making Spider-Man 4000. Yeah, I saw Dick Tracy for the first time. Yeah, this activity book, I taught myself, I was always grounded, right? I taught myself Morse code with this activity book. I forgot all of it, but anyway. I was super into Dick Tracy as a kid. I was obsessed with it. And if, you know, from the day it came out till this year, I hadn't watched it. And I finally bought it and I watched it. I was like, love it. Great movie. Good vibe. I watched Serpent in the Rainbow for the first time. Great movie. Bill Pullman. He's a legend. And then a close tie to Romeo and Juliet for my favorite non-new movie of the year would be Blade Runner. I know. Can you believe I hadn't seen it? I'm a big cyberpunk geek. The Matrix series are my favorite movies of all time. I did a show on Lawnmower Man already. Yeah, cyberpunk's my jam. I think that's actually the future. I think that's the way we're headed. What do they call it? It's called like high-tech, low-life and corporate authoritarianism. I think that's where we're headed, honestly. A dystopian future, if you will. And I'd never seen Blade Runner. I finally sat down to watch it. And I was like, this holds up. This is an impressive film. Sir Ridley Scott, always knocking it out the park. And finally, the worst movie of the year, Two thumbs all the way down. The Policeman with Harry Styles. I said it in my Letterboxd review and I meant it. You never met two gay dudes this boring in your whole life. And that's what it's about. It's pathetic. It's awful. It's the worst shit I've ever seen. I was a drag. I was like, dude, this is stupid. Somber and lame. I was like, this is the worst. Okay. Anyway, that's my movie. That's the ups and downs of movies for Isaac's 2022. Moving on. Deaths. Celebrity deaths. Who all died? A lot of people died. Here's the notable ones. The only people that I recognize or care about. Takeoff. Probably the biggest tragedy for me. I'm a big Migos fan. I long thought Takeoff was the most underrated one. For some reason, you know, Quavo and Offset are the only ones people talk about, and they're great. Don't get me wrong. But I was always like, man, why do people trash on Takeoff? He's great. He's like, he was kind of the Bone Thugs type dude. Like, he could rapid fire rap, you know, and I love that. So, yeah, that was kind of the biggest tragedy for me. Here's a bunch of other people that died. Oh, Jordan Maxwell. That's probably up there, too, right? I should have mentioned that. The great conspiracy legend himself, Jordan Maxwell, died. Which is a real bummer. I had heard that he had... You know, the guy's a legend. He's been doing this for many years. I heard he had a rough go financially for a variety of reasons. And I'm like, man, that's just not right. You know what I mean? Because nowadays, if he would be alive a little bit later, he could have started a podcast. You know what I mean? Jordan's Grifter Alley. He could have been selling shirts. That's a damn shame. Some other people that died. Aaron Carter died in a bathtub. Not a huge fan of him. He's fine. Like, I'm not trying to shit on this guy, but I didn't really ever care about him. I thought he was kind of a weirdo. Coolio died. Again, Coolio, one of my formative hip hop experiences. I listened to Coolio a bunch. Queen Elizabeth went to, back to the Draco constellation with the other lizard people. Anne Heche died. Twitch from Ellen. I didn't know he existed. My mom called me to tell me about it. She's very upset. I said, Mom, Ellen DeGeneres eats babies. You can't like this show. Anyway, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. I can't break her heart. I can't break my mother's heart. And what do I know? I don't like Ellen DeGeneres either. Even pre-conspiracy, I never thought she was funny. I just didn't. So two people close to Ellen died. That's kind of odd, right? Red Cloak. Red Cloak from Eyes Wide Shut died. Leon Vitali, longtime friend of Stanley Kubrick, appears in my book, Kubrick's Code. He died. Alexander Dugin. We talked about Alexander Dugin. He's Putin's right-hand man. He's the occult traditionalist guy. We talked about it with the Russia Dark Arts shows we did. His daughter got killed. Woo, shots fired over there in Russia. Taylor Hawkins, the drummer from Foo Fighters. We did a couple shows on him. That was bizarre. That one's bizarre. Bob Saget died. I, of course, grew up watching Full House. That's a bummer. He seemed like a funny dude, like a nice guy, maybe. Of course, all these celebrities seem like nice people, but maybe they're not. We don't know. Naomi Judd, I barely know who she is. Kirstie Alley, the babe from Cheers, dead. Scientologist also, by the way. Meatloaf died. Meatloaf from one of my... I see Rocky Horror every year with my beautiful, lovely wife, Josie. Meatloaf will always be Eddie to me. And we often... You know, I love... So Paradise by the Dashboard Light is one of my favorite songs. Josie hates it. And every time I turn it on, I'm every time it comes on the radio, I crank it. I love it. I don't know why she don't like it. I think it's great. Freaking Gallagher died. Watermelon Smasher guy. Jerry Lee Lewis. Who knew he was still alive? He died. Angela Lansbury. Her daughter was in the Manson family. Yes. She's dead. Olivia Newton-John from Xanadu. And Grease. I'm going to watch Grease. I haven't seen that in a long time. That's a damn shame too, you know? Why is it when the good-looking people die, it's sadder? It's more tragic, isn't it? You're like, damn. Why can't you take the uglier ones? Yeah, Olivia Newton-John's gone, man. Now for a segment that I'm really going to enjoy here, with all due respect, of course. God wanted one particular branding of human more than any other in 2022. God wanted all the mobster actors up there with him. These guys all went to the Fort Lauderdale in the sky. Ray Liotta. I can't believe he's dead. From Newark, New Jersey. Played Henry Hill in the best mob movie ever. Goodfellas. Dead. Paul Sorvino from Brooklyn. He played Polly Cicero in Goodfellas. Ironically, also in Romeo and Juliet. You know, he had a range. Mira Sorvino is one of his kids. She's a babe, right? He was buddies with Jason Miller from Exorcist, Father Karras there. I talked about how in Scranton, if you go down there, you can see a carved out bust of Jason Miller that Paul Sorvino donated to the city in their little square there. James Ken from the Bronx, a German Jew, who would have thought, right? He was classmates with Francis Ford Coppola. He played Sonny Corleone in The Godfather. Also, you could see him in Misery, a great movie. Or Elf, more apropos for Christmas time. He's dead. Tony Sirico. Am I saying his name right? Tony Sirico. He's from Flatbush, Brooklyn. He played Walnuts in Sopranos. Also minor appearances in Goodfellas and Casino. This dude, now this is what I want to talk to you about. This dude was a real one, all right? I didn't know any of this stuff. I just thought he was some actor. This is fascinating. Because I perused their Wikipedia, so I'm going to read to you straight from Wikipedia. Sirico, am I pronouncing it right? Sirico was convicted of several crimes and was arrested 28 times, including for disorderly conduct, assault, and robbery before taking up acting. On February 27, 1970, he was arrested at a restaurant found with a .32-caliber revolver on his person. In 1971, he was indicted for extortion, coercion, and felony weapons possession, convicted and sentenced to 4 years in prison, of which he served 20 months at Sing Sing. According to a court transcript at the time of his sentencing, Sirico was the owner of a discotheque in Manhattan and also had pending charges for criminal possession of a dangerous drug. Sirico stated that he was visited by an acting troupe composed of ex-convicts during his imprisonment, which inspired him to give acting a try. And it didn't even stop there. After he was already famous for acting, says in 1999, he and Sopranos co-star Vincent Pastore, what's his name, Big Pussy or whatever? Is that him? They met with James Clemenza and his brother Jerry, Colombo crime family soldiers, at a Christmas party in Little Italy, Manhattan. Clemenza was under FBI surveillance at the time. So I didn't know that dude was about that action, but arrested 28 times. Now that's a story, right? Someone's got to make a documentary about that guy's life. I had no idea. And look, I'm an East Coast guy, so these mobster movies are my most favorite thing on the planet. Even that, The Irishman, it was pretty good. I mean, it's probably the worst one of the bunch. Anyway, moving on. Favorite and least favorite memories, personally. You want to get personal? Let's get personal. Some of my favorite memories, I saved a dumb goose. I wrapped my arms around this dumb thing. I cornered it. It was limping around. And I cornered his ass. And I scooped him up, which was kind of terrifying because that's a big-ass bird. All right? And I took him to the wildlife refuge. And, you know, you pay $100 or whatever you can donate. And they saved him. They said he had a really nasty foot infection because he was limping around. Look, I'm not out there nabbing goose. The goose was in my gym's parking lot in the morning, and someone mentioned it. And I went to the gym in the evening. There's the dumb goose still, and he's limping around. I was like, something's wrong with this goose. well, you're just going to let this goose die? No, you're going to snatch him up. So I snatched him up and saved him. But they said he had a really nasty foot infection. Turns out he was a big crybaby. And they gave him to a farm. Now, not the same kind of farm that your dad took the animals to. An actual farm. It's a domesticated goose, apparently. Anyway, so that was fun. I liked that. I got a new mailbox. I'm very excited about it. The nicest mailbox you've ever seen. And I bought my dream car. Again, a low expectation dream car. All right. It's a Honda S2000. Not to brag. It's almost 20 years old, but you know what? You got to live. You know, sometimes you got to live. Now, the least favorite memories, these are the ones I could live without. You know, 21, I had some rough spots. And I should have known this year was going to be garbage. But look, anytime you're above ground, it's a good year. Don't get me wrong. Let's keep it glass half full. But I should have known this year was going to be garbage. The first experience of the year, I watched The Matrix 4, and it was total trash. Then a week later, my wife's car got smashed up. She's fine. Like, it was fine. But it got the door caved in a parking lot. And we waited months for the parts to come in. So we're driving around the smashed up car like jerks. And we get it repaired. You're not going to believe me. We get it repaired, and I'm like, you know what? Let's get it a nice wax and detail. A thing I would never do in my whole life. I've never done it. I've always cleaned my own vehicles. I used to work at a car wash when I was 13. I did that for 3 years. I've detailed a million cars. But, you know, I'm getting old. It hurts my hands. I got carpal tunnel for forever. I said, we're going to pay big bucks, $200-$300, whatever it was. We're going to go get this thing cleaned up. It's like a brand new car, baby. Let daddy take care of you. So we took it to the detail shop. And we're told, okay, come pick your car up. It's ready. I was like, okay, here we go. I'm not even exaggerating. We pull up, and a woman in a Mercedes or something, smashes into the car in the parking lot. In a static parking lot, she ran into our car. I was like, I put my head in my hands. I said, you've got to be kidding me. They're all looking at it. I get out, and I storm over there. I'm like, what the? I mean, I didn't storm over there. You got to keep it cool, people. Everyone's human. We all make mistakes. I said, what's going on? And she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And she put a big old scratch down the side. I was like, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. So we had to wait a few more weeks, get it fixed again. Anyway, then in the summer, air conditioner went out. There goes $8,000. Then the dog, the same day it went out, our dog got bit by another dog, and we had to take her to the ER at 8 at night, and we didn't get her out till 4 in the morning. Luckily, she made it, though, right? So thank God for our blessings of that, but an experience I could do without. Then I already talked about the Alex Jones thing. That sucked, because obviously the writing's on the wall for all people who talk about those subjects. I embarrassed myself publicly by talking about how I hadn't done a Tom Cruise movie analysis ever, and immediately I was reminded that I did about 6 episodes on Eyes Wide Shut and wrote about it in a book, and I was like, oh, okay, you got me. You're right. I did clearly do a Tom Cruise movie. All right. And then the icing on the cake. I got COVID for the first time, apparently. I thought I had it last year. I tested negative a bunch. And yeah, I don't know. I got COVID, and it put my I try to keep the language to a minimum. I put my penis in the dirt, as they say. All right. It took me like 2 months to recover from this thing. I was like, dude, this sucks, man. So people that are like, oh, it's just a cold, miss me with that BS. I'm convinced this thing was made in a lab. I've never been so sick in my whole life. Now, I didn't have to go to the hospital or nothing. Like, you know, the doctor told me, like, this would, you know, the case I had would have killed a normal man. I just was exhausted. I just couldn't. And, you know, if I can't CrossFit, I'm the crankiest SOB you've ever met in your whole life. And imagine going 2 months. I'm surprised my wife didn't leave me. I was so mad. I was like, this is some bull crap. But I'm on the other side of it now. I'm good now. But, yeah, I mean, that was some weird. I'm on the team that was built in a lab. This is some weird stuff going on. Yeah, so what a bummer of a year that was, right? But hey, you know what? Like I said, I'm above ground. Life's good. People got it. Oh, there's always people out there that got it worse. I'm not complaining. Well, I am. That was a whole segment on my complaints for the year. And you know what was fine? You know what? I was fine until I saved that goose. And then everything went downhill. Anyway. Now, this the podcast, right? Let's get out of the personal realm and go to the podcast realm. Some big moves for the year. As I mentioned, we changed the podcast title because the writing is clearly on the wall for the old title. It's toxic at this point. So we're moving on. I had to start a new TikTok. I had to start a new YouTube. Be sure to check out the new YouTube, all right? What I'm going to do is I'm going to take the video version of my show that people on Rockfin get, that people in my tier 2 and up get access to. And most of the shows, at least half of the shows, I'm going to put them on the YouTube channel, but I'm going to release them a week or two later, right? And of course, I'm going to put ads on it. You know I'm putting ads on those things. But yeah, anyways, we're starting a new YouTube. Try to fire that up again. I did my first film consult. Shout out to Jimmy from Airy Bros. He released a short film called Double Ripple. You can watch it on YouTube. It's short. You can watch it. It's got occult symbolism. It's Illuminate Confirm. It's because your boy was on there consulting about different symbols and ideas. So thank you, Jimmy, for that opportunity. You did great. It was awesome. Another big move. Thanks to you guys, I sold almost all my shirts. Almost every shirt I have, I finally sold them. I had to sell a bunch of, it's the old branding, right? So in a way, they're now limited edition, okay? You're now the certified OG. I got some new shirts coming in for the new logo. You're going to like them. They're basically the same thing. I think we're going to go gray this time, though, just for fun. And shout out to Justin, who got the shirt on the front page of the newspaper, right? They took a photo at his work. And he was wearing the shirt, so you can see it on the front page of his newspaper. It's pretty cool. I got lots of cool stuff from you guys, from the audience. Skinny Fresh sent me some badass artwork that you can see on my studio wall. Barry sent me a badass weapons bag for the zombie apocalypse. I'm ready. Pickled Landed sent me a rug and my big dumb face. I hung it on my wall. I'm not going to put my feet on my face. It's going on the wall. It's on the studio wall right now. And I met a guy named Chase. Bought me cookies, right? I met, you know, it's getting too close for comfort. I've seen many people in public this year. And like, you would think, oh, Isaac, that's cool, man. You're a big celebrity now. I bet you think you're famous. And the first couple times I felt that, I was like, that's wild. Like, that's pretty cool. All right. People are noticing me. And, but I got to tell you, you know, it's a little unnerving because I worry about all this Illuminati talk and it's like, it's dangerous content sometimes. It's like, I don't know if these people are everyone I've met has been lovely, been great people, but I'm like, it's got me worried that there's going to be the people that I hate that are going to be like, hey, bro, are you talking about Beyonce? She had the best album. What are you talking about? You know? So I'm going to take Barry's weapon bag and stay strapped, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, shout out to everyone I met this year. That was dope. Big moments for the podcast. We cleared 10 million downloads, a feat that even Spreaker, my host, doesn't even have a reward for. They stop at 5 million. And we cleared 10 million. And I wrote him, why don't you guys make the little digital award trophy they send you? I said, why don't you make one with my face on it? They didn't think it was funny. So no 10 million download thing. I don't know. Speaking of 10 million downloads, Joe Rogan, who gets that every single episode, Sam Tripoli, the great Sam Tripoli from Tinfoil Hat Podcast, was on Joe Rogan. Can you believe it? Of course you can. I think he was on there before, actually, years ago. Bledsoe Said So, one of my favorite podcasts. They had Duncan Trussell on there. Man, these guys are making big moves. I need to start making some moves. What am I doing? Sitting on my hands here. Oh, that's right. I am making moves. I do have some. Rude Jude on All Out Show and Sirius. Let me back on Shade 45 on Sirius XM. Shout out to Rachel, by the way. Because I got roasted 7 years ago. I went on Sirius XM to talk about Sacrifice Magic behind the mic. All the listeners thought I was just a crazy conspiracy jackass. And they called it, oh, you're so stupid, right? And how the world has changed. And now I'm back on to defend my honor. And the listeners have a different perspective now. Most of them are on my side now. So shout out to Jude, you know? Let me back on there. And it was the All Out Show audience roasting me, not Jude. All right, just to be clear. And then, of course, Kanye basically confirmed all those ideas I was writing about in my hip-hop book. He said, look, there's blood sacrifices out there. There's handlers out there. These are all theories I wrote about in Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic in 2014. And it's not like because I have this gifted knowledge or something. I mean, this is just topics people talk about in the conspiracy realm, and I found examples and put them together. And back then, people weren't ready to hear it, and today they are. Also, I featured in the Paranoid American Tron Universe Collaboration Conspiracy Coloring Book. You can get it on Amazon. So that's pretty cool. I posted a photo of my cartoon in there on my Amazon or my Instagram. And I cleared 2 million views on an Instagram Reels video. The Esperanza Spalding Baphomet video cleared 2 million views. I couldn't believe it. In fact, the lead singer, Mars Volta, is fighting with people in my comment section. I asked him, like, hey, man, what's your stance on all this? He won't write me back, but he'll fight with other people in the comments. So check that out for more. Now, let's see. Okay. Usually I'll talk about the most drama of the year. And for me, the most drama I got was one of these, you know, expert conspiracy guys who's basically just another news source. You know, I call them the COVID conspiracy experts. Like they can't get over COVID. They can't stop talking about it. It's been 4 years. They still talk about it every day. Called me a fake conspiracy theorist. And I'm petty. So I discussed it on Rockfin on Truth or Drama. And then I came to the conclusion that, you know what? I'm shutting it down. I'm not doing Truth or Drama no more. I can't have this negativity in my life because the more I give it energy, the more it infiltrates. And look, I go to therapy every month. I don't need that shit. I just don't. I don't want it. I'm not doing it. So I shut it down. And not because of the one particular person or whatever. It was just, I don't know. A mixture of me being petty and me being sensitive is what it was. Now, let's see here. All right. Okay, let's wrap this show up. Let's get into specifics on predictions. I think that's the best spot to go next. Let's talk about the ones I made last year and see if any of them are true. Now, as the years go by, I made them more vague. So these are pretty vague predictions, I think, to be fair. Okay, I said last year on the 2021 wrap-up show, I said the biggest one, I said nerds are going to kill us. All right? And I mean, kind of true, right? In a way. Elon Musk bought social media. He tanked the Tesla stock. So in a way, the nerds are going to kill us, but first they're going to take all our money. So Elon Musk is tanking the Tesla stock, and then he wore a Baphomet costume. We did a whole show on Elon Musk and Grimes' Saturnian death cult symbolism back in March of 22. And then you've got SBF, Sam, whatever his name is, Bankman-Fried, crashing the crypto markets. Bozo. And that ties into apparently like the DNC or something. I don't know. It's irritating. These nerds, man. And then his girlfriend's doing some shady stuff or something. These nerds are going to kill us, but first they're going to take our money. Next, I said aliens are definitely going to be in the news. I mean, that again, this is a lame. They're both lame. These are lame and vague, all right? I'm going to try to be more specific this year if I can. But, I mean, of course aliens are still in the news, so true. Did you see the Vegas Sapphire UFO? I put it on my Instagram. Check that out. That one's terrifying. And the government is changing the rules now for whistleblowies. And so let's see what comes up, right? Jeremy Corbell made a post saying that we might hear from people who have reverse engineered UFO technology, like Bob Lazar, right? We'll see. Let's see. What else did I say? I was talking about the chaos candidate, the new normal, and the great reset. Okay. Again, vague. Looking back on this, I'm like, these were all too vague. But again, true. In March, Joe Biden said the new world order is coming. He said this on March 21st. And the next day, of course, is infamously known as 3/22. All right. And then at the Super Bowl this year, Eminem did, what's the song, the 8 Mile song? As we march to a new world order, he says. He said that on TV. Lose Yourself, that's what it's called. I knew it would come to me. And then I said, there's going to be more Satanism. More Satanism. Again, extremely vague. But the verdict is true. And almost in a way, unexpectedly, Putin reportedly been into the dark arts and the occult. Who'd have thought he's got the Satan II missile that he's threatening people with? So, yes, facts. Balenciaga posted up the 666. And then we covered Julia Fox way back in January because she fits into this whole Fashiongate thing. Marina Abramovich. Kanye West, let's not separate Kanye West from all that. He's tied in with all these players. He dismissed it on Alex Jones's show, which is what made me think, man, I don't know if I trust Kanye West. But yeah, Rick Owens, Spirit Cooking. And then if you recall this year, Kanye West gave us these images of him as human furniture and spirit cooking and stuff. It's possible that he just witnessed this stuff and that's why he's trying to expose things now, but he didn't. That was not the energy he came with at Alex Jones's InfoWars interview. He was like, no, forget it. Balenciaga and you guys are so worried about kids and stuff. You need to be worried about porn. And the collective American society said, okay, you're losing it, buddy. And we also found out Dave Grohl was doing rituals in his bathroom as a teen, if you recall. Anyway. So yeah, I mean, the verdicts are mostly true, but I'll be fair. Those were really vague. Now should I, yeah, let's just move on to the predictions for 2023. I predict there will be some kind of big moves on sexual abuse, particularly with the kids. Now, again, pretty vague, right? Surely something's going to happen that is related to that topic. I'm going to give you a specific. I predict Dane Cook will be in hot water of some kind. So there's a specific. Also, I predict a couple people are not going to have a good 2023. You could call this the Deadpool section of the show. I don't want to say that out loud. I'm not trying to wish this upon anybody, but I've seen some very strange behaviors that makes me worried for these people. And of course, I'm talking about Kanye West. And I'm also talking about Doja Cat. They've both been doing some very strange things. They've both been talking a lot about the Illuminati, but in a weird way. I don't know what's going on, but I worry about those two. Something bad happening. I don't like to say that. I don't wish that upon anyone. But, I mean, if we believe in an Illuminati with this kind of reach, you know, where'd that lead you? And my third one, this one's a little vague. Revelation of the Method will continue to come down the tracks in some way. All right. Finally, let's get into the most popular shows and we're going to wrap it up. Well, let's talk about the guests for the year. We had, shout out to all my guests, Paolo Harris on there talking about the Trinity site with, from her book with Jacques Vallée. That was a great interview. That book is fascinating. Nick Hinton came out to talk about his books. He's got a third book coming out. Shout out to Nick Hinton. Alex Kazemi joined me to talk Spring Breakers. Shout out to Alex. He's all quiet and enigmatic somewhere. Then I was on some big shows this year, right? Some big interviews here. I got to do Eddie Bravo, which was wild for me because Eddie Bravo, obviously a massive name in the conspiracy world. And what's crazy to me is back before I was anything close to anybody, I had written my first two books and I mailed them to Eddie Bravo's jiu-jitsu studio, to 10th Planet in Hollywood. And I never heard back. And he told me he never got them. So I don't know what happened to the package. I never got it back. But it's just weird to me how small this world can be and how, honestly, you know, a lot of people get into that law of attraction kind of woo-woo talk. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's true. I mean, that's bizarre. Like, what are the odds? You know what I mean? So, yeah, that was a big moment for me to get on Eddie Bravo. Of course, to get on Rude Jude's show again is massive. I did Chris Jericho's show again. I mean, I'm talking to a wrestling legend about aliens. I mean, what the hell? Like, if you guys think that for one moment I don't know, feel the heaviness of this, like it's weird to me. It's really bizarre to me. It's like dreaming. I feel like I'm dreaming sometimes. I'm like, really? Like, I'm talking to these people? I did Sean Atwood's 50th episode. He did the 6-hour mega show. Kudos to him. I can't make it through anything past an hour. My brain gets mushy. And Chris Hansen from To Catch a Predator was on right after me. That was wild. I did, and then I did a bunch of more familiar shows. You know what I mean? I did Billy Ray's Infinite Fringe with Mr. Gates, to some of my favorite people in this podcasting world. Shout out to you guys. The Bledsoe Said So crew, again, one of my favorite shows. You got to check them out. Mark over at My Family Thinks I'm Crazy. These are all great people. You know what I mean? I did Chiller Queen. That was dope. We did Wasted Radio Hardcore Specialty Show. That was cool. Yeah, lots of shows this year. So I'm going to try to keep it up, though. What is that, about one every month or so? I'm going to try to do it. Now, before I get into the top 10 downloaded, what you found to be the most interesting shows, I'm going to tell you which ones I liked more, all right? I feel like the most interesting show that we did this year was the Stranger Things Season 4 Deep Dive series. Was it 4 or 5 episodes? Amazing how many topics they could squeeze into one season of television. And there was mixed reactions on this, okay? Which was a good litmus test because a lot of people want me to do these deep dives, these mega huge shows. But, I mean, that takes a lot of freaking time and research. That took a long, long time to prepare that, right? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I actually have the videos for sale on my Gumroad store, gumroad.com/IsaacW. You can check out the Stranger Things videos on ad-free 4 or 5 hours or whatever it took me to make those with the clips from the show and everything, where I walk through all the occult symbolism of Stranger Things Season 4 and Season 1. But there was mixed reactions. I got a lot of feedback. A lot of people liked it, but a lot of people were ready to move on to something else. So that's good to know because, I mean, those deep dives, I mean, I can only do so much. I'm a one-man show here. So I don't know if I'll do another 4 or 5 episode deep dive like that. I don't think so. Now, the most fun show for me was the Spring Breakers show. Love Spring Breakers. One of my favorite movies of all time. Alex Kazemi joined me to talk about it. He saw it in the theater, what did he say, 30 times? Loved it. I loved that movie. I can't say enough about it. Mixed feelings from people, though. A lot of people hate Spring Breakers. I don't know why. I think it's great. Some of the other shows I really enjoyed. I enjoyed our 2-part Sex Magic show. That was like a deep dive, right? That one's good. That was very interesting. That's the backbone of all this cult symbolism. We talked about Kanye West a million times this year. The Friday the 13th special was fun. We talked about Knights Templar, Baphomet, and the Double Cross. Top Gun. I did the 1986 Top Gun. That was pretty fun. A lot more in there than I thought there would be to talk about for a conspiracy show. I couldn't believe it. I did a show on Google's AI Lambda. That's a fascinating topic about the AI spirituality of this occultist running this AI spirit. Don't Worry, Darling, of course, which I already mentioned, is one of my favorite movies of the year. And Halloween 1978 film analysis. That was fun. Loved it. I watched every single Halloween movie. I ranked them on my Letterboxd. I don't know why. Are you guys on the Letterboxd yet? You can check out my rankings of the Texas Chainsaw franchise and now the Halloween franchise. Now, finally, we're going to wrap it up. One more thing. Spotify. Everyone was sharing those Spotify unwraps. I didn't do that yet. Maybe I'll do that on this show's artwork. Says, my listener personality is the time traveler. Says, your fans are audio time travelers. They seek out podcasts that are new to them, regardless of whether they're new to the rest of the world. So, I don't know. That's what Spotify tells me about you. And then, you know, it says I'm in the top 1% of the most followed podcasts and top 1% most shared globally. So, thank you for that. Like I always say, sharing the show is probably the biggest thing you can do, honestly. More than anything, because I get a pretty high retention rate. Once people discover me, they stick around. Because I feel like I've got a certain set of skills, a certain niche. And I feel like I know what you guys want. You know what I mean? Anyway, sometimes I miss the mark, but I try, right? All right, finally, this is what you wanted. The top 10 shows of the year. Most popular as per you all listening. All right? Can anyone beat Travis Scott's Part 1 that is sitting at about 75,000 downloads? I don't think so. I don't think so. We're getting close, though. We're getting close. All right. I need a drum roll. But I don't have one of those fancy editors to edit in a drum roll. So let's go. Number 10. Brittany Murphy Conspiracy Part 2. From January 31st, 39,000 downloads. Well, 39,081, because it gets down to the singles there. Yeah, you guys were very interested on that. I'm not going to talk too much about that, because plot spoiler, Brittany Murphy comes up again in this top 10. You guys were really into that. Number 9, Elon Musk, Grimes, and the New Atlantis Saturnian Death Cult, Marxist Great Reset, AI, and more. From March 7th, 22, at 39,138 downloads. I've talked about Elon Musk all the time. He's a fascinating guy. He's the worst. He's one of these nerds that's definitely going to kill us. Number 8. Aliens, Angels, Abductions, and in the Invisible College. Chris Bledsoe's UFO story featuring the Bledsoe Said So crew. Congratulations, guys. You came in hard. At number 8, that was from June 13th, 22, at 39,194. That's impressive. And those guys deserve it. They're great. They do a great show. It didn't number them, so I got to count them up. I had to export this from my statistics thing, okay? Number 7. 10, 9, 8, 7. Number 7, the 2021 wrap-up show. Betty White Sacrifice, Top Pop Culture Moments and Predictions for 22 from January 7th, 39,653. So you guys love the wrap-up show. So hopefully you're listening to this one. Number 6, Brittany Murphy Conspiracy Part 1. HBO doc Simon Monjack and Britney Spears' Haunted House from January 24th. 40,255. So we finally broke the 40,000 mark on this countdown. The Brittany Murphy thing, you know what's interesting? I kind of knew that was going to be a hot topic because back in the golden age of blogging, before I got sued and had to take it all down, I had written a couple thousand articles and there they go. Poof. Brittany Murphy conspiracy was one of my most popular articles. So I kind of knew and I thought, gosh, I've never done a show on Brittany Murphy. And then they released a HBO doc about her death and I was like, bam, bingo, let's go. Because, you know, I'm an old school grifter. I know when there's blood in the water. I know when it's time to strike. Why do you think I put all these words in the title? I know how to write copy. The wordiest titles on the planet. Josie's always giving me grief. She's like, you gotta, Paul, why do you put so many words in everything? I'm like, you gotta hit the tags. Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? I used to get her into SEO, search engine optimization on websites. But the rules change constantly. And now I'm being told that I got too many words. So I don't know. Maybe I should go to a minimalist approach. Number 5. Russia's Dark Arts and Occult Symbolism Part 1. Putin, Dugin, and the Global PsyOps. From March 17th, 2022 at 40,432 downloads. Obviously, a global interesting topic there. And it got even weirder because if you heard my recent TMZ episode, we talked about how Putin was, in fact, getting into some of these dark arts even more. Or is that propaganda? I don't know. Who knows, right? Number 4. Super Bowl Illuminati Symbolism, Ritual Magic, Pagan Gods of Forbidden Knowledge in the New Atlantis. From February 14th, 22 at 40,711. Now, I'm surprised this wasn't higher. Because Super Bowl usually is the most popular sort of show. But I think the reason it wasn't is because there wasn't anything crazy that happened. And there's been many years in a row where a lot of these award shows have been pretty tame, including the Super Bowl halftime show. So let's see if Rihanna can break that. Maybe she can come out as a demonic alien and we can really unpack some stuff. All right. Number 3. This one's the most surprising one. I was shocked so many people check this episode out. Number 3, Don't Look Up Film Symbolism, Nerds, Kabbalah, Occult Doctrine, and Science Dogma. From January 10th, 22 at 42,147 downloads. I'm kind of surprised. Sometimes these film analysis, they don't get that popular. Like, you know, how many people have seen this movie, first off, on Netflix? You know, Leo was in it, so of course I saw it. I like Jonah Hill. I think he's great. I think, wasn't he in it? Yeah, I think he was in it. Great movie, though. I loved it. I thought it was great. Number 2, The Joe Rogan Conspiracy. It's probably got number 2 just because I had the word Joe Rogan in the title. MH370, Pfizer, Blackstone, Freescale, and the Rothschilds. From February 8th at 46,471 downloads. Almost 50,000 on The Joe Rogan Conspiracy. And what was that show about? I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't remember. I don't remember. Maybe it's that COVID fog. I couldn't tell you. I don't know. Maybe it was he on Alex Jones or something? Because I don't listen to every episode of Joe Rogan. You check it out and let me know what you think. And then finally, at number 1, also my number 1 pop culture moment of the year, Will Smith versus Chris Rock, The Illuminati Humiliation Ritual and Channeling Spirits from March 28th. At 47,796 downloads. There you go. The biggest moment of the year. Honestly, I'm surprised that more people didn't download that than the Travis Scott thing, right? But that just goes to show, and I try to point this out often because in a way I understand what the media does because I understand what it, because I'm also trying to get maximal downloads and views and stuff, right? Like I know what it's like on this end. And when they say it bleeds, it leads, there's a lot of truth in that. When there's a celebrity that dies, usually that's a hot topic. With Travis Scott, you had, what, like 8 kids died? So that's a big topic, right? A lot of people are trying to make sense of that. And the Will Smith and Chris Rock thing, again, a lot of people trying to make sense of it. A lot of people debating on whether or not that was real even. And it seems like it is real, right? I mean, what was in this for Will Smith exactly? Well, if you listen to that show, it's the Illuminati humiliation ritual. It wasn't supposed to do him any favors. It was supposed to make him look bad. He had a price to pay. The Faustian bargain, some people would say. So there you go. The top 10 shows. Thank you all for listening. What a year it was, right? It had its ups. It had its downs. But you know what? Like I always say, I said it at least twice in the show. As long as you're alive, You're doing good. You're doing pretty good. So even though 22 had some downs, a lot of ups, right? I'm trying to focus on the ups. And in 23, I alluded to this on the Superman bonus intro that I did recently. What I've got some big moves I'm trying to plan for 23. And what I want to do, and again, don't hold me to this because I don't know if I'm going to get close to even starting this. I want to do a course. I want to do a course on all these topics I talk about because I know what you all have questions about. I get it all the time. I need to address it, right? So I'm trying to do, and you know, let's do these, you know, let's go down Grifter Alley a little bit. A lot of people sell these courses, you know, they're like $500. $500 and I'll give you the course. That's what I want to do. I want to do that. Is it going to be $500? I don't know. It just depends. But I want to go through various symbols. And the reason why it would be $500, I don't think it's going to be that. But what I want to do is I'm formulating the outline of the course, all the topics I want to cover, you know, symbolism and certain people we always talk about and so on, right? With the idea that I might be able to find a videographer who can help me make a polished video instead of me just in my studio with my camera pointed at me, like a proper, sort of like an Ancient Aliens version of the show, right? That's what I want, but that's obviously very expensive. I talked to one guy last year. He was saying for about $5,000 he could do it. But I think that was a much smaller thing, what he thought I was talking about. What I'm talking about is, I mean, several hours of discussion, video editing on several topics and different ideas. And look, I'm going to try to get it started this year. In a perfect world, in a fantasy world, I get it completely done this year. But that's what I'm going to try to do. That's my New Year's resolution, to at least get this thing started, a good chunk of the research done, so that all I got to do is find a videographer, sit down in the studio, get the proper Giorgio Tsoukalos lighting so I can yell at you guys about conspiracy topics. But we'll see, right? We'll see what happens. Maybe I do it. Maybe I bail on it completely. I don't know. But that's my goal for the year, all right? That's my resolution? Is that right? I don't know. So thank you for being on this journey with me. You know, I say it all the time, and I mean it. To all my people on the supporter feeds, thank you so much. You know, I've got amazing supporters and listeners out there. I've got people that are all the way up at tier 4. I mean, you know, Cheryl, Barry. I got lots of people out there at these high levels of support. And, you know, it's humbling, right? Even all the way down to the tier 1 people. Like, I get it, right? It's $5 a month. It's not the most money in the world. But it helps, right? If I know that's coming in, it helps. It helps me keep focused and my energy up for this thing to try to research and give you guys the best content. Try to make it entertaining. Like Bill O'Reilly, I read a bunch of Bill O'Reilly books back in the day when I was in the military. You know, he always said, keep it pithy. Well, that's kind of what I try to do. I don't want to make these long 3-hour Joe Rogan shows. I want to get to the point. Let me give you the info. Let me try to make it entertaining as much as I can. Because sometimes these topics get stuffy. And I know that because I try to find other podcasts that discuss occult symbolism and stuff. And it's just so stuffy. I mean, these guys are like way too smart. They know, you know, I don't have the most knowledge in the world of this crap. But I'm learning, right? And I'm trying to share my information with you guys. So thank you for all the supporters out there on Patreon, VIP section, or Rockfin. Thank you very much. Even if you're a free feed loser, a joke, right? If you're a free feed loser, thank you, right? Just listening to the show is a huge deal to me. Again, if you want to support the show and you don't want to do it on the supporter feeds, you could leave a 5-star review because I'm constantly battling people who they pick up one episode. They're like, oh, this guy's trying to sell me books. Yeah, I wrote a bunch of books and I try to sell them. Sorry, I don't know what to tell you. So they'll give me 1-star as if that means the show is bad. You could leave a review, 5-star review, and most importantly, share it. Share an episode with a friend. You hear a topic you know a friend is interested in. Maybe they just watched Don't Look Up on Netflix. Send them that show because that helps bring more people into the audience. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Till next year, stay woke.